Hey, Bridge City Church, Pastor Rick here. What an honor and privilege it is that I get to bring you an update on our One Vision campaign. What this is this is a three-year giving initiative that's over and above our regular tithes and offerings. Many of you decided in your heart what you can give, and you made a very large and a very generous commitment. That's right, 2 years ago we began. I can't believe we're 2 years into it with 1 year left to go. 2 years ago, this is how much was committed: $1,825,578. What a blessing and what an honor that is, and what a privilege it is to be able to give like this. But on behalf of all of our pastors and elders, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being so generous and so sacrificial in your giving. Thus far to date, we have received $961,478 and yes, 25 cents. Yeah, we're so grateful for that. And your giving has made a huge, huge difference. What this giving is going towards, what a joy it is to be a part of one church in four locations. So in different locations, it has been marked and we processed and planned and prayed for different projects. At our North Braddock location, we have already completed the outside entryway. And for those of you there and for all of us to participate in Growth Track and other events there, you have noted the cement work and the awnings and the lighting and those things. Well, we're not done there. We're just now starting to plan for new children's facilities, new rooms, a better facility, and a better update specifically for kids. At our Brighton Heights campus, we actually saw a renovation of the entire auditorium, including chairs and carpet and paint. What a great uplift this has been. Oh, it's just so nice and so crisp. It even looks bigger there. Every time I'm there, I just can't believe how great it looks. And then also, a new kids area is being planned out and purposed downstairs with a new entryway to get down to there and a new footprint for the building there as well. This is being planned right now. At our White Oak campus, now anybody that's been at our White Oak campus knows we're running out of room there. That's right, even with two worship experiences on Sunday morning, it is packed because people are coming there and they're experiencing Jesus in a very real way. So what we're continuing to do is save money for a new facility that we can purchase because we're leasing the one we're in, or a new facility or land in which we can build. We have just begun the process of looking and praying and preparing for where God would want the White Oak campus next. At Murraysville, the same thing, either a new facility or land in which we can build. So this is what we're marking out, that we're praying for, what we're believing for, and what we're sacrificing for, because in all of these facilities, it's the main way in which people come and they worship with us and they meet Jesus in a real way, and they experience God in such a real, dynamic, life-changing, spiritually transforming way. That's what we're all about here at Bridge City Church. But in addition to these projects, each year we decided from the very beginning of this 2 years ago that we would give $100,000 away in missions. In 2022, we gave that money just like we said we would. That money didn't go to anything internally for our church, but to bless ministries locally, nationally, and around the world. This calendar year in 2023, our missions giving just out of the One Vision campaign, because actually we give more missions money away than this. We have given away so far $96,567. I know what you're thinking. That's a little less than 100. That's because we're not done with this year yet. And many of you are still giving on a monthly basis, on a weekly basis. So we're going to give that other $3,000+ away in missions. As a matter of fact, what we have is we have a special offering coming up at our candlelight Christmas services here. And we're going to be giving money to Teen Challenge, which is an adult recovery program, and then also Refuge for Women. It's a ministry to help women that are homeless or women getting off the street and getting released from sex trafficking as well. What valid and good ministries to give to. So we're not done, but we're going to do exactly what we said. We are going to give away that money to missions. So when you give to the One Vision campaign, it's not only securing and helping our facilities become all that they can be so your friends, your coworkers, your relatives can come and experience Jesus with you. We're also building the kingdom of God, expanding Jesus' reach far beyond Bridge City Church. For that, I want to say thank you. You have made a big difference in the Ukraine. We have planted a school with the network of related pastors, a school of ministry, which pastors and church planters are being trained. That's right, your money has helped expand and launch many churches in other countries. We have given to Refuge for Women. We have given to the Buffalo Dream Center, the Pittsburgh Dream Center, and ministries like this, also in Guatemala. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's continue to be generous in this way. I want to read to you a couple verses here because over the past weeks, we've been studying 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. A couple verses in chapter 8, verse 10. The Apostle Paul writing about an offering that they started to give before this, and he's following up on that offering. Here's my advice. It would be good for you to finish what you started a year ago. Last year, you were the first who wanted to give, and you were the first to begin doing it. Now, you should finish what you started. Let the eagerness you showed in the beginning be matched now by your giving. Give in proportion to what you have. So this is it. We're 2 years into a three-year giving initiative. Let's enter this last year strong. Let's finish not only this year in December finishing strong, but let's go into the next 12 months finishing strong. Let's finish what we started. Now, for those of you that have been giving, thank you. For those of you that haven't participated yet, here's your opportunity. You can either give a one-time generous gift to the One Vision campaign, or you should have received in the mail a card. And in just a moment, at your campus, we're going to be reviewing this card together. And you're going to have the opportunity to give a monthly gift. You can maybe give weekly or every other week or month, but how much can you give on a regular basis, specifically towards this One Vision campaign, towards facilities in all four campuses and missions as well? Because it's not an either or, it's an and. That's right, we're going to do both of these. So, for some of you, maybe you made a big commitment and life changed. Something happened. Life happens like that. Listen, it's time for a fresh start, clean slate. Listen, we're not going to look back on what's happened. Let's look forward to what God can do with us and for us here. Three questions that we always ask in generous giving. That is, what can I give? What do I have? That's right, what do I have? Then we always ask, well, what can I give up? Is there something I can give up? No, not your rent money, not your electric bill. No. How about those extras? Is there something that you can give up for the sake of the future, for Jesus' church? And then, what can I believe God for? Where does faith come into play? And that's so important. Because in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 11, whatever you give is acceptable. Here it is, if you give it eagerly and give according to what you have, not what you don't have. May we all ask, what do we have? What can I give? What can I give up? And what can we believe God for? Because together we can make a big difference, not just for our generation, but for the generation of people that are going to come behind us and eventually call Bridge City Church their home. the place that they're going to raise their kids, the place that they're going to be changed and transformed, the place that they're going to begin a relationship with God and become fully devoted followers of Jesus. So here is what we are asking. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Here it is, verse 4. For there's one body, one Spirit, just as you have been called, with one glorious hope for our future. Thank you so very much for being the awesome, most generous people on the planet.
Amen. Amen. Bless God. Listen, we have a lot to celebrate when it comes to all of that. I am so thankful to be running the race with people like you. And we have many people here that weren't here a couple years ago when we began this initiative, this three-year initiative. And of course, we've been very blessed here. I mean, you're sitting in the midst of the support of the One Vision campaign. Okay, those of us that have been here this past year, everything has been redone in here, from the carpeting to the chairs to the removal of the baptistry, right? Not that we don't believe in baptism, okay? We just do them a different way. And again, new projector overhead. Some of you are saying, oh, there's a new projector. Yes, remember it used to be over there. Okay, the picture, right? Okay, yeah, something changed. But that is what this is about. We are supporting the One Vision campaign, that we are prepared to reach and touch more people with the hope of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why we do this. That's why we do this. And again, I'm excited to be part of a church family and part of an eldership. I'm one of the elders of the church. We've given away over 20% of the money that's come in, if you notice that. You know, 970's come in, we've given away 200,000. Because we're committed to the mission of God. But I also see, though, anything that goes into this building's the mission. Do you see it? Right? Again, before Christmas, there will be another room finished downstairs. Correct? Well, amen. We have it contracted out. We're adding another room on the lower level for the kids. And I said the footprint down there is changing. And I want you to know, too, the value of being part of the church family. We are one church, four locations. The amount of resources that have been poured into this facility did not just come from this room. It did not. It came from the church family. Your brothers and sisters across town have also given. Because we did not raise enough here to do this. Okay? So I say that because I want you to appreciate the church family that you're part of. Okay, we're not just independent, we're interdependent, all right? And I appreciate being part of that. So what does that mean at this point? As my brother had mentioned, for those that are new, that was my brother, that wasn't me up there. Okay, it's my baby brother. We do have these cards available. These cards are available at the connection point in the back. And again, we just want you to pray. We want you to pray about giving a one-time gift or making a 12-month commitment. Make a 12-month commitment. Also want to speak real quick, too, to those that made a commitment and you've struggled. You've been struggling, like you're carrying a weight over it that you haven't been able to meet that. Look, I want to encourage you, pray, and come and talk. Come and talk to me about that. All right, we don't want anybody carrying this like an anchor around their neck. All right, that's not the point. So come and talk to me about that. All right, because we do not want you in that place. Amen. But we want you to give. We want to give liberally. We want to give generously. And so I said, that's what we want you to catch. Grab hold of that. I am thankful to be able to run with the Bridge City family. I am so thankful for that. Amen. Has God been good to us? Amen. Praise God. All right. So again, I just want to take a few more moments of your time. Not long. But I want to look at this Ephesians chapter 4 scripture. Joel, if you could put that up, 4:1. And this is the scripture that my brother was ending up there up with. And, you know, Paul, as we read his writings, he was big on appeals. Like he would make an appeal. Like, hey, something he's appealing. Hey, I want you to do this. Okay. And this is one of those appeals. And let's just read it here. It says, therefore, I, Paul, a prisoner for serving the Lord. He says he's a prisoner for serving the Lord because he's a prisoner. He's in a Roman prison when he wrote this. This is his first Roman imprisonment. He was, you know, Paul got thrown in prison at least three times. Some people think six. Okay, so he was in prison. Why? Because he was sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Okay, so he's a prisoner for the Lord, okay? And what that also means is the people he was writing to were also starting to face persecution, right? They knew there was a pressure now. If you're going to claim Jesus as the leader of your life, there was a pressure that you were feeling now coming from the culture, something we don't know of. But I want you to catch what's happening in a moment. He says, a prisoner for serving the Lord beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Beg. Some of your Bibles would say implore. Okay. So here's this man from prison. Okay, this man from prison, and he's imploring you. He's begging you. But this is the guy in prison not begging you to send him money. Okay, he's not begging you to show up at his trial, his hearing. Okay, he's begging you. He's from prison. He said, look, I implore you. Listen, walk in a manner worthy of your calling. God has paid a price for you. I want you to walk in a manner worthy. And isn't it intriguing that as this man sits in prison, this is what's on his mind? The man in prison is so concerned. He's so concerned about those on the outside, those that are free. He's so concerned that, look, you're missing the point. You're missing the blessing of God. And he's telling you from prison. See, typically the people on the outside encourage the people on the inside. But I just want you to catch his heart. So again, for me, when I hear Paul saying, I implore you, I beg you, walk in a manner worthy. Okay, walk in a manner worthy. Man, I'm going to listen to what he says. I want to hear what he says. This man, what kind of heart is this? Now, what is the calling? What is this calling? And again, this is something you can go a lot of different directions for this. But I believe we can find this in chapter 3. We can find out what the calling is. Because if you notice, chapter 4 started with a therefore. Okay? So if you see a therefore, you find out what it's there for. So we go back to chapter 3. Really, all the first three chapters of this letter, Paul is reminding them who they are in Christ. And again, so let's look at this. This is just a few verses before. He says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father. Okay, so Paul is saying a prayer. He's praying. He's, I'm going to pray. Okay, he says, everything in heaven and earth, I pray that from this glorious and his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with an inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Okay, and you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Listen, this encapsulates Paul's message really through these first three chapters. He's saying, I want you to understand how good God is. He said, I'm praying that the Spirit inside of you illuminates you on the goodness of God. Okay, that's your calling. Your calling, my calling, is to know this reality. How good is God? That you would, in chapter 1, he prays. His prayer is, he says, I pray that you would have wisdom and revelation in knowledge of God. Right? See, in ministering, as God was ministering in worship today, Mackenzie used the line that God's pursuing you. Right? God pursues. God is for you. God wants to show you mercy. That's what this is about. See, walk in a manner worthy of your calling is, look, you've been loved. You've been cared for. God has paid a high price for you. He's for you. He loves you. Walk in a manner worthy. Walk. Can you appreciate what God has done for you? See, he's not telling you a bunch of rules and telling you follow the commands. Paul's saying, will you just understand how good he is? Right? His prayer isn't, God, I pray they follow the Ten Commandments. That's not the prayer. The prayer is not, God, I pray they all show up on Sunday. No, the prayer is God, that they would just know who you really are. Because if you know who he really is, you want to walk in a manner worthy. That is the goodness of our God. That's the goodness of God. Right? And that's what Paul's imploring them to do. Saying, look, I beg you, walk in a manner worthy of the calling. He doesn't say follow rules. He says, walk in a manner worthy of the calling of someone that loves you this much. Someone loves you this much. Why are you not pursuing them also? Someone has done this for you. Why am I not running after him? Do you follow it? It's a change in our perspective. God is out to bless. He's out to set free, even as we were praying during worship today. Amen? God wants people set free. Remember, his first message, again, as we shared in worship, the first message he shared coming out of the desert, the first recorded message, was he read from Isaiah 61. And you can put up Luke 4 there, Joel. And again, this is what he had spoken. You know, this is what he said. He took the book. The prophet Isaiah was handed to him. He opened the book. Give me that next slide. And it said, this is what he read. The Spirit of the Lord's upon me. He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to proclaim release to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and set free those who are oppressed. That was his first message. It was freedom. He came to preach freedom. So today, during worship, when we're talking about God wants to set you free from your feeling you've screwed up so bad in the past, you have nothing but ashes. He wants you free from that. When you're in mourning over someone that you've lost or something you've lost in the past that you even blame yourself, he said, I want to set you free from that. All right? That's who our God is. He wants to set you free even from your shame. Right? That's walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Why not do that? Amen? To me, that's where the smart money is. Okay, I want to follow where the smart money goes. The smart money is on the guy that loves me and cares for me this much, that he wants you and I to be set free. Be set free. Let's go, Joel, throw up Ephesians 4, 2 to 4. Okay, again, remember he started out, Paul was writing in Ephesians 4, and he said, hey, again, I beg you, walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Okay, this is what he says right after that. He says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there's one body, one spirit. Do you see everything that he's saying here? Right after he says, walk in a manner worthy, it's all about your relationships with others. Everything. See, we have to catch that. Look, we have to grasp the revelation that our walking in the promises of God and the goodness of God is always related to my relationships with other people. I don't get the promises without relating to you. I need to relate. There is an interrelationship that we have, right? And Paul saw that. And so right after he says, walk manner of the worthy of the calling, what's he say? He doesn't say pray in the spirit for hours. Okay, he doesn't say memorize my letter. He says, be patient, be humble. Quit finding fault in everybody. Be long-suffering, right? Keep yourselves united, binding yourselves together with peace, right? Again, everything is relational, everything. Okay, and so, again, we have to catch. This is what Paul's saying. I want you to walk in the promises. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling. You've got to be together. You've got to be together. And not just sit in the same room. You need to love and care for one another. And what happens is the anointing of God is released as we walk together. Amen? Now again, unity is not about us agreeing on everything. It's something we really have to keep straight in our culture now, because if you disagree with someone, they think you hate them or want to accuse you of being some type of phobic, right? And again, that's not accurate. That's not unity. Again, I have a fabulous marriage. My wife's serving downstairs. She would agree with that, okay? But listen, doesn't mean we don't disagree. Doesn't mean we think the same. Okay? See, unity is not about walking in lockstep on everything that you think and do. Okay? It would be boring. That's right. Yeah. I mean, think about it. Would you want to be married to you? So would you marry someone who acted like you? God, no, right? So catch that though. So when we're called to walk in unity though, there is a unity we're called in. That's why we're big on Be connected to a team. Be serving on a team. That's why we're big on be connected in a group. Right? Why? Because we got to do this together. We are doing this together. I can be selfish about it. I want to walk in all the promises of God. Okay? For me to get the promises of God, I got to love you. I got to be patient with Hodge. Okay? Okay, I got to be patient. I have to be long-suffering with Dave. Okay? Anyway, that's what I'm going to do. Amen? I said, because there's an anointing released. And catch this. This is the man from prison crying out, I beg you, walk in a manner worthy. And the first thing he says after that is, relate properly. Don't give up on one another. Don't criticize, right? It doesn't say we don't speak truth, but it says, I am not going to give up relationship. I am going to stay connected. I'm going to stay connected, all right? And again, so I want to encourage you. Many of us, we have connection groups now running, like a couple more weeks, okay? Stay in there. If you haven't been to your connection group in a little bit, get back to it. Get back. Because the thing is, you want to say, oh, it's only a couple weeks. I'll catch up when we start in February. No, don't do that. Don't give yourself that out. Come on. Right? Get back in there. I want the promises of God for you. I want Sophia to walk in the promises of God. I want Ben to walk in the promises of God. Well, look, you've got to relate to the family of God. Amen? Paul's whole message here is about I care for you. Well, you catch that God cares. God is for you. He's for you. But he's saying, though, if you want those promises of chapter 3 about knowing his love and walking in the power of God, you've got to do chapter 4, and that's love and care for one another. Okay, grab hold of that. Grab hold. A couple things I just want to share here real quick. Julie, I sense God really wants to speak something to you, and I submit this to you. It's Romans 8:15, and it's where God says you're adopted by him. You're adopted by him, and he calls you a daughter. And again, you're not like a hired hand. You're not an afterthought. He says, you're my daughter. I have adopted you. And it's legal, okay? No, it doesn't matter what anybody else says or what any thoughts in your head are. He says, you're my daughter, and you have full rights to me. You have every right, every gifting of an heir, okay? All the riches that he has, all the promises, they are available for you, okay? All right, so I wanted to share that with you. Amen, 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 amen. Michael. Just want to share with you. God is saying, again, I believe the word about ashes was for you. And there's God's restoring. God's restoring, okay? There is a call on your life to touch people and influence people. It's still there. It's still there, okay? And again, so he's saying, here it is, right? There's walk in a manner worthy. And the calling is, I love you. I'm waiting on you. I'm still there. I'm still there waiting for you, right? Amen. So again, hold fast to that. Hold fast. Bless God. I don't think God's done. Bless the Lord. Thank you for entertaining me like this and allowing me to. Hallelujah. See, it's really funny when you start operating this way because God uses me this way in many different places. And there's some people are like, oh, God, don't call on me. And others are saying, oh, God, have him call on me. So I'm not having you raise your hand. So I'm not going to have you raise your hand. I'm just going to be led of what God is speaking. Channing, hey, you're the one saying don't call on me. But honestly, Channing, I just see you as one like at a starting line, like in a race. Like you're a starting line in a race. You're ready to run the race. In other words, that's a good thing. I want you to be encouraged. Like God sees that. Like you're prepping. You've been quote unquote training. You're stretching. You're ready to get into blocks. And he's saying he's ready to shoot the gun. Okay, so I don't want to say get prepared. You are prepared. But believe that you're called to run the race. Believe it. I mean, he's going to be opening up. He's going to be putting things in your head. He probably already is for things for you to do, like serve. How am I going to serve God? What's that? And again, your wife, your mother, yeah. But it's beyond that. Okay. But you said like you've been preparing. He sees it, and you're getting into blocks. He's about to shoot the gun, and you're going to start running. But I believe that what does that mean? There's some things he's put on your heart or things he's going to reveal to you, things he's going to reveal to you on what you're supposed to do and serve. And it's bigger than what you think, because you keep thinking, I can't win the race. Why would I get in the blocks? No, and he's saying, no, this is, I put you here. Okay. Amen? Bless God. Bless God. Bless God. Hallelujah. 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 Natalie, way in the back. Amen. 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 Natalie, God, again, I just really sense the Lord wants to, he wants you to know that there's more healing for you if you want it. But you've been one, again, like many of us, you've kind of kept him back here. And he's saying, look, I want to come into your heart and really bring healing. Allow me in. And it's going to release a greater joy in your life. Because you've been a faithful, a woman of God, a faithful servant of God. Okay, but he wants to release joy, and he wants to give you some of the things that you've been praying for years. Okay, that's a real desire of his. Could one of you ladies go over and just touch her and pray for her right now? Okay, Charisse, okay, Aaron, just go ahead, just pray. Because again, God has more for you, Natalie. It's time to start believing those promises of God. Amen. Let's believe the promises of God. Amen. He wants to set people free. That's what he does. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's see. I'm just checking out the room. Seeing what God wants to do. Seeing what God wants. Bless God. Bless God. Tom, do you have anything for anybody? I mean, I want you to be free. Tom and Charisse, maybe you guys have anything prophetically. Joe, if you have anything prophetically, I want you to be able to, as the meeting ends, go and speak to people about that. I want you to be able to share that. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bryce, God wants to bring clarity to you. He wants to bring clarity. God's gifted you intellectually. And again, man, you see a lot in the spirit. But I sense that like at times God's going to bring more focus. He's really going to make you focus at a young age. What are you aiming at? Like right now, this is what I see. I see like you're like an electric wire that's filled with power, but it got cut. And it's kind of, you ever see electric wire sparking in the wind? It's powerful, but it's dangerous. People say, get away from it, right? There's a lot of power in you, but it's not directed. God wants to give you a laser focus, okay, in ministerially speaking and professionally. He wants to bring, and I know you want that. He wants to bring clarity to what you're doing professionally, but he's bringing clarity, all right? But pray that way. Pray for that specific clarity that God has. Amen? Amen. 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 I'm going to pull up there right now. I'm going to pull up there. But again, I just sense God wants to do that because he wants you to know that he wants to bring healing. He wants to bring life. He wants to bring freedom. That is what we believe. That's what we believe here. And we see that in promise in the word of God. It's in the word. And again, as we close today, I said, if you want prayer, come forward and get prayer. Come forward and get prayer. We will pray for you. Right, we'll stand with you. Okay, the gift, some of you are saying, what was he just doing just now? That's all spontaneous. We see that as a gift that's given. Oh, Nathan. Sorry. Nathan. Amen. I met Nate a few weeks ago. Bless God. God wants to know what you're waiting for. Let's know what you're waiting for. It's like, look, I'm calling you. I'm like, he's shouting, and you're like acknowledging it, but you're not responding and running to him. Like, it's like a parent yelling at 5 o'clock, get home for dinner. You know, you need to come now. I'd get grounded if I didn't respond, you know. So God's calling, and he's saying, what are you waiting for? Come to me. And give me your brokenness, give me your hurt, give me your questions. and allow me to start laying a foundation in your life. Amen? Okay, and I can talk to you more about that when the meeting's over. Amen. Okay, I'm going to pull up right there, but I want you to catch, it's about freedom. What I just did, this is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. God gave gifts to men for the building up of the family of God. Okay, and we see in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul gives instruction about what happens when we get together. And these are some of the things that happen. Everything that I said needs to be judged. Everything, you need to judge it. And if I'm off the wall, you need to come and tell me. You know, because again, that's you judge things. Okay, anybody that ever speaks to you this way and isn't willing to be judged, run from them. Okay, run from them. So it said, you need to judge those words. You need to judge them. Amen. Okay. So I want you to catch. I implore you, like Paul does, let's walk in a manner worthy. Walk in a manner worthy of our calling, of a God who loved you so much. He did for you what you would never do for anybody else. Okay? And let's run. Let's run. Amen? Okay. So just join me in prayer right now. Father, we come before you. And God, we just ask, Father God, again, Lord, that we could look at the words of Paul as a brother or as an uncle, or as a personal pastor. God, as Paul, man, he said, I beg you, walk in a manner worthy. Walk in a manner worthy. And we went on to say, man, be in unity. Love those around you. Don't divide. Don't separate. Don't isolate. Because there is a great future ahead. There is a glorious future ahead. And it doesn't have to do with more vacations and a fatter retirement. It has to do with satisfaction in your life. It has to do with purpose and living for something more. God, let us meditate on these words out of Ephesians. God, we want this to be our core culture. A core culture, God. We're running after you. We're giving our lives to you. We're giving our lives to one another. And we're giving everything we own to God for others. That's how we want to live. And if you're here today and you're far from God, you know you're far from God, and you're saying, it's time. I need to get back to where I need to be. And if you're here and you're saying, man, I'm touched today. There's something real happening. There's something real going on in my heart. There's something real, but I've never made that commitment. I've never just said, here's everything. I never said, here's everything. I've always held out. You've always held out. You've never given God everything. If that's you, again, or if you're one of those people, again, just raise your hand. Because we don't want you to leave without getting prayer, without us being able to explain to you the hope that you have in Jesus. Okay, that's why we're here. That's what we do. And Father, we thank you. I thank you, God. I pray, Lord, these prophetic words, God, they speak life and they speak hope and they speak freedom. Freedom to everyone that's heard them. Let's go. And again, as we close the meeting, no one leaves this building without speaking life to somebody else. This is us being the family of God. You know, we want to be unified. You can't leave this building until you encourage somebody else. Not your spouse, not your kids, somebody else, okay? You have to speak a word of encouragement. Word of encouragement. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen, amen. And Rachel, will you come up here? Okay. Hey, as you do that, again, I just want to give an extra plug, too, for Rachel was praying about the lost. Come on, we come all the way up on stage. Okay. Didn't Rachel do a great job leading today? Amen. Amen. I'm going to help you out here. Just this, the invites for Candlelight. This is the time of year when people are more open to invitation, okay? And again, I encourage you to invite them to this facility on the 23rd. This is a gorgeous facility for one thing. It's a special night. We have a one-hour meeting where we're going to glorify God and share the gospel of Jesus Christ as we remember the season. Amen? Amen. There's cards on your seat. We handed out a couple hundred of these last night, right? A couple hundred of these were handed out last night. More will be handed out today in Avalon. But you be a part. See, I don't want you to stand around at work saying, oh, yeah, our church handed out a couple hundred invitations and you didn't hand out any, okay? I want you to be part of it, okay? So take that card, and there's more. We have more for you. Hand out that invitation. People are open. Amen? Amen. Our God is good. Here you go.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Pastor Gary, for that message. And I just pray that we are a people that would walk in a manner that's worthy of the calling that we have in Jesus Christ. And right now, we're going to enter into our time of tithes and offerings. And it's really interesting because I felt, as I was praying this week about what to say, I just felt the Lord led me to passages of scripture, and that really goes along with what was preached today. So it's at the end of Acts 4, and I'm just going to read it, and then I'm just going to pray it over us. And it's Acts 4:32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. God's good. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord. And, Father, I just pray that as this body, Lord, this body of believers, that we are united, that we are a people that are united, that we are in one heart, in one mind. And, Lord, I pray that we are not a people marked by our possessions, but we are a people marked by our generosity and our love for you, Lord. I pray that as we see those in need, Lord, that we would just give, because we have been given freely everything in Jesus Christ. And I pray that we go forth and we testify to God's goodness and the power of his resurrection. And I pray that God's grace comes so powerfully on us that there would be no needy among us. And Father, I just pray over this offering today, Lord, and I pray that it is pleasing and glorifying to you, Lord. I thank you for what you do through our loaves and fishes, Lord. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. So the ways to give are on the screen, and you can pass those baskets. You can text what you want to give. There's a kiosk in the back, and you can give online. I'll go to the next slide, please. So Next Steps is this week, and if you have been attending and you've never gone to Next Steps, you can still do so. It's today. You can sign up today and go for it. It is just a time where you get to learn more about the church and also just more about your giftings and how you can become a more active part of the church. Child dedication. Oh, nope. Second Fridays. Second Fridays is coming up this week, and it is just a wonderful time that the ladies of this campus get together and we just bond and eat, and it's just really good. And you can sign up for that. It's this Friday at 6:30, and it's a really nice time. I'll have that next one, please. Child dedications are coming up, so if you would love to have your child dedicated, it's really just a special time. It's Sunday, December 17th, and you can get signed up for that at Connection Point. And Light Up Nights are coming up, and like we prayed for earlier, there is one today, and you could still be a part of that if you want to. We're going to be giving out the cards for the candlelight service, and it's just, you know, we're just really praying that the Lord moves powerfully in that. So if you're interested, definitely sign up, and we would love to have you. And lastly, our Christmas candlelight experience. So we're going to be giving those cards for the Christmas Eve service or the candlelight service. It's December 23rd at 6, and there will not be childcare for that service. And if you need prayer, please come forward. We'll have Chuck and Barb will be up here praying. And don't leave here today without prayer. If something came up through the prophetic today or through worship and you need prayer, please come up and get prayer.